Grace Bernard's life was shaped by absence and betrayal. Born to Marie, a beautiful French immigrant struggling in London, Grace grew up in a cramped studio above a chicken shop, while her father, Simon Artemis, lived in opulent wealth just miles away. Despite their poverty, Marie created moments of joy through magical mystery tours to the Cutty Sark or Selfridge's Christmas lights. When 13-year-old Grace lost her mother to untreated cancer, she discovered the cruel truth. Her father had sent a dismissive letter and a $5,000 check to make them disappear. In that moment, a seed of vengeance took root that would grow into a meticulous plan to eliminate every branch of the Artemis family tree. What makes Grace so chilling is her clinical approach to murder. She doesn't kill in blind rage, but plans each death with project manager precision. For her grandparents, she researches their habits in Spain before forcing their Mercedes off a treacherous cliff road. When she finds her grandfather barely alive in the wreckage, she whispers her identity before setting the car ablaze. For her conservation-minded cousin Andrew, she poses as a volunteer named Laura, gaining his trust before drowning him in his beloved marsh. Her uncle Lee falls victim to poison at a sex party, while her stepmother Janine dies when Grace hacks her smart home sauna. Perhaps most calculated is her plan for Instagram influencer half-sister Bryony, who receives luxury beauty products with hidden peach extract to trigger her severe allergy. Between murders, Grace balances a corporate career, daily runs to control her rage, and lives frugally while saving for revenge. Murder becomes another methodical task in her routine. From prison, where she awaits her appeal verdict, she writes her memoir. Limehouse Prison's environment is marked by constant noise, violence, and degrading enrichment programs. Her cellmate Kelly irritates her by filing toenails on her bed and claiming to know the Morton murderer. Grace notes that prison life is mostly mundane, punctuated by occasional drama. The irony lies in her imprisonment for Caro's death, the one murder she didn't commit. Her appeal depends on security footage proving her absence when Caro fell. Despite her tough exterior, Grace reveals moments of vulnerability, particularly missing her mother, whose face grows dim in her memory. After winning her appeal, she savors simple freedoms, a luxurious bath and tiramisu, as her life begins anew. The Artemis family represents everything Grace loathes about the ultra-wealthy. Their Spanish villa stands as a sterile, white stucco home in a secure compound that reeks of wealth without personality. Half-sister Bryony epitomizes the vapid socialite, claiming to be pansexual while only dating men, briefly owning then abandoning a dog named Fendi, and cultivating superficial friendships with other rich, nothing-eyed women. Simon and Janine's marriage is purely transactional. After his infidelities, Janine secured the business rather than divorce him, making Simon her prisoner, albeit a wealthy, tax-evading one. Even cousin Andrew, who chose wetland conservation over family wealth, can't escape Grace's vengeance, though she feels a twinge of guilt about him. The novel sharply critiques wealth inequality through the Artemis family's excesses. Their sterile mansions with beige carpets and mistreated staff, their tax dodging between luxury properties, and their treatment of people as disposable. Grace's dark humor punctuates these observations, from Jeremy's Regency Club tie symbolizing bot status despite his Bethnal Green origins, to Bryony's shallow activism, hosting galas at the British Museum over her peach allergy while remaining blind to genuine suffering. The novel's final chapters deliver a stunning revelation. Grace isn't the only child Simon Artemis abandoned. Harry, another illegitimate son, has been following Grace's revenge mission with fascination and even completed it by killing Simon himself. Like Grace, Harry grew up with a single mother, though in less dire circumstances. After resolving his family's money problems with Simon's help, Harry planned to end their relationship. Before he could, Simon's parents were killed in Spain. When Harry went to comfort Simon, the drunk billionaire revealed Grace's existence. Intrigued by this half-sister, Harry tracked her down and witnessed her murder Andrew. Rather than reporting her, he continued following her for months. When he finally confronted Simon on a yacht in Saint-Tropez, Simon's drunken taunts about Harry's mother pushed him over the edge. Harry smashed a wine bottle over Simon's head, causing him to fall overboard, and watched him drown. This shared act of patricide creates an unexpected bond between the half-siblings, though Grace doesn't learn of Harry's role until after her release. His final message warns that any attempt to harm him will result in her crimes being exposed. Grace's murder spree of six family members stems from revenge for her father's rejection and mother's suffering, but reveals deeper psychological layers. The murders become her way of maintaining connection with her deceased mother, with a photograph serving as both memorial and hit list. When Simon dies accidentally, killed by Harry, Grace's two-day grief is not for him, but for her lost vengeance, revealing her motivation was more about control than justice. Grace exhibits traits of antisocial personality disorder, lacking empathy and remorse while being manipulative. Yet she maintains genuine connection with her friend Jimmy, and sparing Simon's new wife Laura hints at some moral boundaries. The novel also explores how wealth enables consequence-free behavior, as seen in Simon's abandonment of his child and Bryony's petty theft, both protected by their privileged status. The novel's conclusion leaves us questioning justice and redemption. Grace is released from prison, exonerated for the one murder she didn't commit, while remaining unpunished for six she did. Harry has integrated himself into the remaining Artemis family structure, becoming CFO of Laura's foundation and positioning himself to benefit from the wealth Grace sought to claim. His warning to Grace, backed by evidence of her crimes, suggests he's not above using the same manipulation tactics she employed. The final postscript from Kelly implies that Grace remains vulnerable to blackmail, her freedom precarious despite legal exoneration. What makes the ending particularly unsettling is Grace's lack of growth or redemption. She still plans to claim her inheritance and shows little remorse for her actions. By refusing to provide easy answers or satisfying closure, the novel forces readers to confront uncomfortable questions about justice and privilege. In a world where wealth can buy immunity from consequences, perhaps the most disturbing possibility is that there is no final reckoning, just the ongoing struggle for power and survival. As Grace luxuriates in her bath after release, planning her next moves with no awareness of the threats closing in around her, we're left wondering whether true justice is possible in a world so fundamentally unequal.